The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ivan in for Pat. Well, Ireland is quite an outlier when it comes to the ratio of school leavers choosing college versus apprenticeship. In Germany, the ratio is 1-1, 50-50. Here, it is completely different. And despite an additional 70 apprenticeships being offered in Ireland, their uptake is still slow. Are our attitudes of schools and parents to blame, or how can we close this gap, given that in the construction industry alone, there are vacancies for 50,000 people? It's a pleasure to welcome to the PK show Brian Mooney, Guidance Counsellor, and Paddy Kavanagh, General Secretary of Connect Trade Union. Brian, if I could start with you, maybe give us the scores on the doors in terms of the popularity of apprenticeships, past, present and future.
Apprenticeships have always been regarded within the education system as for a particular cohort of students who had family members who were already in the construction trades or maybe the motor trades, or, you know, if somebody didn't succeed in getting into college or getting a job. So there was always kind of a negative connotation, and schools obviously were also aware that parents were looking at, you know, the league tables published in newspapers like the Times or the Indo about, you know, the percentage of kids who got into college from schools, as if not getting into college was seen as somehow a failure. So, and I'm sure that that attitude maybe hasn't dissipated. So effectively, the idea of apprenticeship, you know, was seen as a negative. And yet, if you look at it, Ivan, you know, if you go to university and do nursing, or if you do medicine, or if you do dentistry, or if you do an architecture, you're actually doing an apprenticeship. You know, it's just a word. It's a concept. I think it's the idea that, you know, parents want their children in the university system. And it may not be to do with the job they're getting afterwards. It may be to do with, you know, socialization, seeing a success, meeting your partner for life, all that sort of stuff. So effectively, I think we need to, you know, constantly get the message across that there are now 77 apprenticeships out there. They are in everything from the financial services, the farm chem industry. There's now an apprenticeship at PhD level down in the University of Limerick. There's degree level 8 apprenticeships. If students are doing apprenticeships, they're going to college for the education side of the apprenticeship. So effectively, what is the difference between an apprenticeship and college? Not a lot, really.
And typically, how long is an apprenticeship? And what sort of pay do employers give for training on the job?
Well, the apprenticeship can be, the traditional apprenticeship were in seven phases. That is the old, you know, the traditional construction apprenticeships, the apprenticeships in the motor trade. The new apprenticeships can be anything from 2 to 4 years. And the payment is based on the actual amount of work that is done. I mean, for instance, I chair the education board in the Further Education College in Blackrock, and we have the accounting technician apprenticeships. Now, they have 4 days working and 1 day in study. The apprenticeship in insurance is done from the university in Sligo. They, again, have 4 days and 1 day. And that 1 day, a lot of it is online learning. The pay can vary depending upon the apprenticeship, etc. There are fixed rates, obviously, within the construction industry, which are obviously adhered to rigidly. Within other industries that have been added in recent years, the pay will vary again by the amount of work that the apprentice is actually involved in.
Paddy Kavanagh, what's your take on this? Is this to do with snobby attitudes that they want their kids to get arts degrees that don't have jobs, as opposed to real career opportunities here?
Well, good morning, Ivan, to you and your listeners. There's a small degree of truth in that, but it would not be the major issue. The major issue that we find from our survey of apprentices is pay and job security. We do note, though, at secondary school level, there is a slight improvement in the offering of apprenticeships or the avenue for apprenticeships to students. But we find this mostly driven by the teachers' unions rather than the schools themselves, who focus more on third level for reputational reasons.
And so therefore, in terms of making it more attractive, what would you favour? Would you do you think employers should pay more? Do you think there can be other support from the state?
Well, Just let me give you an example, because I noticed there Brian did mention Germany, where there is 234 apprenticeships. But where they differ fundamentally from the new offerings in particular is that each apprenticeship in Germany is underwritten by a sexual employment order, which dictates the rates of pay from completion to the end of your apprenticeship. So whether I'm a, for instance, a shop clerk in Dusseldorf or Bonn or Berlin or Munich, the pay is the same. However, with these new apprenticeships in particular, where I differentiate from construction and engineering, etc., where those youths have been, those rates have been won over years by us, the trade unions, on securing decent rates of pay for apprentices. The new apprenticeships have no defined rates of pay. It can vary from between company to company for the same apprenticeship. And it can also vary within companies for the same apprenticeship. And that's why if you have read the progress report from Generation Apprenticeship 24, the new apprenticeships have an alarming drop back rate once they're formed, and there's an initial burst of enthusiasm, or maybe the employers who involved in the consortium have satisfied their needs, and there's alarming drop off rates as well. But from our survey, it's mostly pay.
And so when you say dropout rates, they just don't complete the 3 years, or the level of uptake drops off?
The level of uptake has dropped off significantly. Now, this is a concern we have with the new model, with what which is called consortia-led for the new apprenticeships. Very similar to what was in the UK, where they went to what was called employer-led, which is the same thing, really. And since they went to this model in the UK, the dropout rate went from 17% to 47%. And it was mostly as a result of it was used as an avenue for cheap labour. And with the profile of people who take up apprenticeships now, maybe a lot of people are not aware, because we tend to focus on apprentices coming from secondary schools, etc. The average rate for apprentices taking up apprenticeship now is 21. They wouldn't be finished till 24, 25 years of age. During that time, 13% will have a child. 28, 29, 30% would be renting. And even 3% can have a mortgage. So at that rate and sub-minimum, national minimum rate of pay, you won't get people to take up these apprenticeships. And that is what we're finding on the ground. In fact, and this is quite incredible, the National Apprenticeship Office undertook a survey of all apprenticeships, new and craft, and did not ask the apprentices what were they being paid and was their pay in line with national agreements or legislation, and they never asked.
They evaded it. Okay.
They evaded it. They avoided it.
Okay. And you think that's the elephant in the room?
The crucial one. We're in full employment at the moment. And even the employers that we speak to and we work with in construction, in engineering, even the chair of the hairdressing consortium said at least the minimum wage has to be the entry rate.
Okay. Brian, back in the 70s when I went to Gortyna Agricultural College to become a farmer, there was an NCA, a National Certificate in Agriculture. Yes. Nowadays, I notice that people do that for 1 or 2 years, but then might go to their local TU to do further training. Have apprenticeships changed in terms of there's a pathway to actually higher education through apprenticeships?
Oh, there are. I mean, the new apprenticeships that have been designed, and I don't in any way disagree with what Paddy's saying, it is completely employer-led. This is about providing people to industries in areas where effectively there are skill shortages. It's about convincing the multinationals who are lining up to come to Ireland that we can provide them with the skill base they will need if they move here. But effectively, because it's probably employer-led, to a large extent, the issue of pay hasn't been looked at. But from an academic perspective, as I said to you previously, you know, the apprenticeships now that are being designed, because they know that people want qualifications, you know, they are led in ways that actually lead people to the level 8 qualifications or the level 7, or as I say, in terms of the engineering degree down in UL, to a PhD. So effectively, students who are following these routes are actually ending up with the same qualifications, with the same level of validation by QQI that they would have got if they went and did that arts degree you referred to, you know, in university. So from a point of view of actually having a skill that they can take to the market, But whether they should be paid at a higher rate during their training period is something that obviously the trade union movement needs to actually focus on and obviously needs to negotiate with employers to get a decent rate of pay for these young people.
A huge text response on this, Paddy. A lot of people echoing your point. Des in Cork says, apprenticeship is not like college, paid well below the minimum wage and do all the donkey work on a building site. Should be minimum wage at least from year one. My son wouldn't start a steel fixing apprenticeship because it wouldn't cover his car insurance payment and his day food and travel. So are you saying the single biggest factor, Paddy, that would change this is simply to pay apprentices more?
Well, a couple of things on that, Ivan. When we surveyed our apprentices, 98% put down the minimum wage should be the entry rate. 98% of apprentices said, number one. And I agree with Brian on some of what he says about the apprenticeship can be an avenue to further in higher education, because we have many members who, electricians, fitters, who've gone on to mechanical, electrical engineering. However, just a small issue with one thing he did say, third level is not exactly the same or very like an apprenticeship, because apprenticeship is pay as you learn and people get paid. And that is, it opens up other doors. For example, if you take the new accounting technician apprenticeship, I mean, that is the way these apprenticeships should work from the point of view that there are people from disadvantaged areas who could never afford to go to third level who now have an avenue to that same qualification through a different route. So that is good, but it cannot be an avenue for cheap labour, or our apprenticeship system will collapse like it did in the UK. In fact, the UK government have announced a review and are looking to go back to the model that we have at the moment and the one we're trying to move away from.
All right.
So our concerns is we have a world standard apprenticeship system. We have employers from all over the world headhunting Irish apprentices in the trades. And the last thing we want is a drop-off rate in those numbers, Okay. Solely because of pay and conditions.
Paddy Kavanagh, General Secretary of the Trade Union Connect, and Brian Mooney, Guidance Counsellor, giving us an insight into some of the solutions to get apprenticeships numbers up. And it seems a lot more than a stigma is attached to the issues.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.